have a thought on our heart this afternoon that we'd like to consider by way of teaching. There are certain elements or certain principles pertaining to the Church of God that are relative to or that have to do directly with the growth and the prosperity of the church. And if there is a lack or shortage in any of these elements or any of these principles, the result is that it causes the church to suffer. I'm thinking, dear ones, that as we consider this thought, the thought that we have on our heart, I believe that it could be justly stated that there is a general lack or shortage in this particular area. I believe if we were privileged to go from one local congregation to another, to the assembly meeting, to state assembly meeting, to the national assembly meeting, if we would observe closely, I believe, dear ones, that we would be able to say that in many of those services, we would see a definite lack of this particular element. Now, the thought that I have upon my heart that we'd like to consider, we desire very much that God would have mercy upon us and help us to be able to bring it out in a way that it will be a benefit and a blessing and an encouragement to our hearts. We desire you to pray for us today. The thought that we have upon our heart that we would like to consider, dear ones, is anointing. We want to talk about anointing. Now, when we consider anointing, where there is a lack of anointing, there is a definite lack of the presence and power of the Holy Ghost to work and perform in the services of the Lord. And where there is a lack of the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost present, the church is going to suffer, dear ones. We need the anointing of God resting upon the services of God. We need the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost in our midst to actually perform and work in the ways that need to be worked to glorify God and to benefit precious souls. We'd like for you to turn with us to St. John, the 16th chapter. We'd like to read verses 7 and 8. St. John, the 16th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Here Jesus speaking said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Listen, dear ones, we need anointing upon our services. The power of the Holy Ghost present to reprove the world of sin. There is a need in the services of God to cause sinners to be convicted, to bring them to a realization of their guilt and their standing before God. And that is the job of the Holy Spirit. This is where anointing becomes a real blessing, is when, dear one, the power of the Holy Ghost can actually touch the heart of a sinner, convict that individual, convince that individual that they are lost and undone before the God of heaven, that they have transgressed the law of God, that they have gone contrary to God's will, God's word, and God's way. This is the working of the Holy Ghost, and where, dear ones, there is a lack of anointing in our services, there will be a lack of the power and presence of the Holy Ghost to perform this in the hearts and lives of sinners. And where there is a lack of anointing, the church is going to suffer. All right, Jesus said here in this 7th verse, in this 8th verse, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness." It's not just enough, dear ones, for a soul to be reproved or convicted or convinced that they are a sinner. That individual needs to be convicted and convinced of righteousness. They need to be convinced that through the power of God, they can be redeemed and delivered and liberated from the powers of sin, that the power of sin can be broken in their heart and in their life, and that they can rise above that old sinful life, that they can actually, through the grace of God, live a consistent, righteous, and holy life as they journey through this dark and sinful world. This is where we need the anointing of God present in the services of the Lord to actually convict and convince souls of a righteous and holy life. All right, Jesus went on to say, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We need the anointing of God present in the services of the Lord to actually convince men and women and boys and girls of the judgments of God. We're living in a time, dear ones, in a religious world where many people are being taught that God is such a loving God, that God will not mete out his wrath and judgments upon mankind, that God is such a God of love that whatever we do, just let us go out our own way, and God will accept and receive that. But we need the anointing of the Holy Ghost present as the people of God, that we can preach and teach the gospel in a way that those souls that have been taught those things that are not according to the word and will and way of God, their eyes will be enlightened and they will be able to understand that God is a God of judgment as well as he is a God of love. I believe the scripture let us know, behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God toward the goodness if thou continue in his goodness. Precious souls need to realize and understand that though God is a God of love, yet God is a God of judgment and a God of severity. And this is where the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the power and presence of the Holy Ghost, will come into effect here, dear ones, is that when we can teach and preach those things, that sinners that come among us will be able to realize that God will pour out his wrath and judgments upon those that go contrary to his will and to his way, and those souls can see their need to humble themselves, repent of their sins, turn their hearts to God. It will be a benefit and a blessing to the church. Where there is a lack of anointing, there is a lack of the power and presence of the Holy Ghost, and it's going to cause the church to suffer. The church will suffer in its growth, in its outward growth, of souls being born into the kingdom of God. But when we think also, dear ones, of conviction, God Christ here speaking, that he, when he come, he would reprove the world of sin. To reprove mean to convict or to convince. But not only do sinners need to be reproved or convicted and convinced, do you know, dear ones, that we, as the saints of God, need to be convicted and convinced of some things? And this is where we need the anointing of God upon our services, that these things might be performed in the hearts and lives of the people of God. We desire you to turn with us to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'd like for you to read verse 1 for us, please. Hebrews 12 and 1. Paul said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
let us lay aside every weight
and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, dear ones, we stated that we need Holy Ghost conviction in our services. We need the anointing of God resting upon our services. All right, one definition for convict means to show by proof or evidence. We, as the saints of God, need some things shown to us by proof and by evidence. Now here the apostle speaking in the 12th chapter in the first verse of the book of Hebrews. He said here, dear ones, he mentioned us laying aside every weight. Do you know that sometimes we have some weights attached to our life? We have some things sometimes attached to our life, dear ones, that we need the Holy Ghost to convict us of and convince us that this thing will hinder you, it will hamper you, it will retard your spiritual progress and your spiritual growth. And where the anointing of God is present, these things will be made manifest to the people of God. God will convict us and convince us as well as convicting and convincing the sinners. We'd like for you to turn with us to Psalms, the 19th chapter. I'd like to read the 12th verse of this particular writing, please. The writer asked the question, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Do you know, dear ones, we need the anointing of God to actually reveal to us our errors and to show us some things that we have sometime on hand, some secret faults, some things that we don't even realize that we have on hand. I'm not talking about sin, dear ones, but do you know that we can have some things about us sometimes and we don't even realize that we have those things? We can have some attitudes and spirits and things of that nature about us that we don't really realize. But where the anointing of God is present, it'll make those things manifest to us. It'll enlighten our understanding. We'll be able to see ourselves as Jesus Christ sees us. And as we see ourselves, we can actually seek God. And the Lord will bless our soul and strengthen us and encourage us and help us. And the church of God will prosper and grow spiritually. Where there is a lack of anointing, it's going to be a lack of actually the Holy Ghost and the power of the Spirit of God there to convict and convince and enlighten and help us to see our need. And as a result, dear ones, the church is going to suffer in its spiritual growth. So again, we state that we surely need the anointing of God upon our services. Now, as we consider this particular thought, as we consider anointing, anointing is not confined to one area of the church or one group of individuals in the church. But the anointing of God have to do, dear ones, with every precious soul from the minister throughout the pews. From the individual that have been saved the longest to the newborn babe in Christ. Every one of us have something to do with the anointing of God upon the services of God. All right, as we consider this thought, when we consider the Sunday school teachers, when we consider the Bible study teachers, when we consider those, dear ones, that sing special songs, when we consider those that pray and testify and exhort, every one of us has something to do with the anointing of God upon the services of the Lord. I believe the Apostle Paul said, every joint supplied. Every joint supplied. I think about how sometime we can maybe go to services, and maybe you've heard the statement made, that the service was a dry and dead service. But this is what I consider, and this is what I think about, dear ones, that if I was present in the service, and the service was a dry and dead service, I had something to do with that service.
That's right.
What did I do pertaining to the anointing of the sea? I had something to do with that service. As if it was dry and dead, and if it was a blessed service, I had something to do with that service. We need the heavenly anointing and blessings of God to rest upon our services. We want to read some definitions now for the word anoint. One definition says to anoint mean to pour oil upon. It means to consecrate by use of oil. It means a divine confirmation. It means to sanction. It means to approve. It means to support. It means to authorize. All right, as we consider Old Testament anointing, Old Testament anointing was dealing with the pouring of oil upon. When a king or a priest or someone of high standing was chosen, then that individual, they would take and pour oil upon that information, that individual.
Yes.
That was a divine confirmation. God was confirming that I have my hand upon this particular individual. God was sanctioning that I had chosen this individual to fill this particular place. That was Old Testament anointing. Now as we deal with New Testament anointing, another definition for the word anoint means to consecrate, to set apart, and bless. To consecrate, to set apart, and bless. Would you turn with us now to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter? I'd like for you to read verse 38 for us, please. The writer said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God consecrated his son. God set Jesus apart for a special and particular work, and God blessed him that he was able to effectively perform the work that God had ordained for him to do. This is what anointing is, dear ones. This is what anointing will do. When God consecrates an individual, whether it be in the ministry or whatever, the work that God would have them to do, when God put his hand upon that individual, set them apart for that particular work, God obligates himself to bless that individual that they may effectively perform the labors that he has given them to carry out.
That's right.
This is what he did with Christ. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was blessing his labors. And God today will bless the labors of his people, those that he have separated and set them apart and chosen out something particular for them to do. God obligates himself to bless those dear ones to be able to perform those things. Turning now to Acts, the 13th chapter, reading verse 1 through verse 4.
There were in the church,
that was at Antioch,
certain prophets and teachers,
as Barnabas and Simeon, yes,
that was called Niger,
yes, yes,
yes,
yes,
and Saul,
as they ministered to the Lord,
and fasted,
the Holy Ghost said,
separate me, Barnabas
and Saul,
for the work
whereunto I called them.
When they had fasted and prayed,
and laid their hands on them,
they sent them away.
So they,
being sent forth
by the Holy Ghost,
departed unto Seleucia.
Yes.
And from thence they sailed to Cyprus.
Yes, I believe that's good. Thank you. Here, dear ones, we're talking about the anointing of God. We're talking about a consecration where God will consecrate an individual, where the God of heaven will set that individual apart for a particular work. Here, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And as they fasted and prayed, and as Paul and Barnabas were separated, listen, dear ones, God put his stamp of approval upon it.
Oh, yes,
he confirmed it by blessing them that as they went forth, they were able to effectively perform the labors that God had given them to do. They went forth, dear ones, with the power and authority from God, where they could tear down and destroy and root out those things that pertain to the kingdom of the enemy and the kingdom of darkness, and they could build and plant those things that pertain to God and to the kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is what anointing is, dear ones. This is what anointing will do. When the anointing of God is upon the people of God and the services of God, the power of the Holy Ghost is present there to perform and to bring about the blessings that God desires to be produced in the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls. Now we mentioned, dear ones, concerning the situation that when we deal with anointing, it is not something that is just confined to one area of the church. or to one group of people in the church, but it touches the lives of all of the saints. Thinking again about the teachers, Sunday school teachers, Bible study teachers, do you not know, dear ones, that the God of heaven will consecrate teachers, set them apart, and God will bless them to be able to effectively perform the duties that he has given them to do. We're living in a time when many people seem to feel that when you consider a teacher, that they're just someone that heads a group of people, they sit at the head of a class. But listen, dear ones, teaching is a definite gift in the body of Christ. And God himself chooses teachers, consecrate them, set them apart to be able to teach the gospel. And I believe this is one thing that we need more of in the church of God, is Holy Ghost-filled teachers. I'm thinking, dear ones, that oftentimes when the gospel is preached from the pulpit, a lot go over some of the heads of some of the people. A lot of times people don't comprehend and understand, and they can't stop the minister and ask him what he's talking about. But when we have those that are able to set and teach the people, where the people can get a good, solid understanding, it's to the spiritual benefit of the church, dear ones. I believe we need more spirit-filled teachers that can actually instruct precious souls and teach them in the ways of God, and I believe it will cause the church to prosper more. In thinking about teaching, I thought about John the Revelator. How oftentimes, just naturally speaking, when you deal with teaching people, you have people on different levels of knowledge and understanding. And oftentimes you can teach something and maybe some can readily grasp it and understand it, whereas others do not understand it. This, dear ones, is where a teacher must have the ability, and that individual must be consecrated and set apart to that work by the Holy Ghost, that they can actually deal with a group of people that have different levels of understanding and teach those individuals the ways of God and actually prosper in what they're doing. I thought about John as he taught on the church there in the book of Revelation. In one area, he was teaching the church as a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. He taught her as a mother bringing forth children. Do you know that some people can readily grasp that and understand that? Some people could get a hold to that right away as the church being the bride of Christ and being a mother producing offspring. There may be those that couldn't understand that, couldn't grasp it, couldn't get a hold to it. But where the anointing of the Holy Ghost is, that individual that had been consecrated and set apart, God can so deal with that individual, they can come right along and they can begin to teach the church as a militant army. John taught it as those that went forth on white horses conquering and to conquer. There will be some that will be able to just readily get a hold to that, see? Maybe they didn't get a hold to the church in the other way, but now they can readily pick this up. But I'm thinking, dear ones, as a teacher, that individual must have the ability to yet hold the attention of that entire group that they are dealing with. Those that could grasp it from the first point, they were still in the audience. You've still got to teach them and keep their attention that they not become discouraged and yet be able to teach it so others can get a hold to it. That individual must be able to teach where milk is needed and where meat is needed and actually hold the attention of the entire group that they're dealing with. This is where, dear ones, the anointing of the Holy Ghost will come in, where we need it. This is where the Holy Ghost will be able to bless and help us as the people of God. When we think also about those individuals that would actually pray in the assembly of God, listen, dear ones, sometime God will consecrate. God will set apart someone to pray. God will put his hand upon that individual. Whether it be in prayer meeting or whether it be in a regular service, God will begin to deal with a certain individual. I want you to pray. And as that individual began to move out for God, God will so bless and so anoint that prayer that it will touch the throne of God. It will be effective. It will bring about the desired result. And it will be a rich blessing to those that are in the presence of the one that's praying. This is what anointing does, saints. This is what anointing is. where God set an individual apart and God blessed their labors, that they are effective in that area that God would have them labor in. Thinking also, dear ones, of those that will sing, whether it's special songs or whether it's congregational songs, when we began to deal with these particular things, we need the anointing of God resting upon our services. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can begin to call songs because this is my favorite song. But we need God to direct us. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost present to choose that particular song that needs to be sung at that particular time. I believe we've heard the statement mentioned oftentimes that there is a message in every song. And we need the right message at the right time. Yeah. And if we will let the Lord, He will consecrate an individual. He will set that individual apart to actually call a particular song. And when that song is called, God obligates Himself to anoint that song that it will prove to be a benefit and a blessing to the souls of those that are present there. All right, as we think concerning those that testify and those that exhort, I think, dear ones, how just naturally speaking, there may be sometimes just a newborn babe in the congregation, an individual that has just gotten saved. And maybe God will put His hand upon that individual to testify. That individual will rise up and testify for God. Maybe all they have to say is, I thank the Lord that He has kept me saved. But listen, when God consecrated, when God set that individual apart, He will so bless that testimony that it will prove to be a rich blessing to the saints. Those that have been saved for years can joy and rejoice in that testimony, because it was anointed of God. All right, as we consider this, we'd like for you to turn with us now to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, reading verses 23 through 25. We need the anointing of God upon our services in these last and evil days. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23 through 25.
Therefore, the whole church began together.
Yes.
Into one place.
All speak with tongues.
There come in those,
that are unlearned
or unbelievers.
Will they not say
that ye are mad?
But if all prophesy
and there come in
one that believeth not,
or one
unlearned, he is convinced of all.
He is judged
of all.
And thus
are the secrets of his heart made manifest.
And so falling
down on his face,
he will worship God
and report that God
is in you
of a truth. We're talking about anointing, dear ones.
When
we deal with anointing, hear Paul. Said if an individual come into the assembly of the saints and all prophesy, he's not talking about preaching from the pulpit here, but he's talking about all of the saints having a testimony or an exhortation that God actually set them apart to make to testify or to exhort. Do you know that this will have a definite effect upon the souls of men and women and boys and girls? I was thinking, dear ones, that sometime a total stranger can come among the people of God. The saints don't know that individual, and that individual do not know the people of God. But as God began to work among His people, God began to set different ones apart and bless them and testify and exhort them. The secrets of that individual's heart is revealed. And oftentimes people go from the presence of the saints feeling that surely somebody told those people about me. Surely somehow they had some knowledge about my past life. But the saints had no knowledge of their life at all. It was just the working of the Holy Ghost. It was the anointing of God. It was God's Spirit doing the work that began to enlighten and reveal that individual's heart to themselves and make them manifest to their own self. All right, he said, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. and so falling down on his face, he will the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. We're talking about anointing, dear ones. When we deal with anointing, here Paul said if an individual come into the assembly of the saints and all prophesy, he's not talking about preaching from the pulpit here, but he's talking about all of the saints having a testimony or an exhortation that God actually set them apart to make to testify or to exhort. Do you know that this will have a definite effect upon the souls of men and women and boys and girls? I was thinking, dear ones, that sometime a total stranger can come among the people of God. The saints don't know that individual, and that individual do not know the people of God. But as God began to work among his people, God began to set different ones apart and bless them and testify and exhort them. The secrets of that individual's heart is revealed. And oftentimes people go from the presence of the saints feeling that surely somebody told those people about me. Surely somehow they had some knowledge about my past life. But the saints had no knowledge of their life at all. It was just the working of the Holy Ghost. It was the anointing of God. It was God's Spirit doing the work that began to enlighten and reveal that individual's heart to themselves and make them manifest to their own self. All right, he said, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and his testimony will be that God is in those people. Listen, dear ones, that's a rich blessing. This is why we need so much the heavenly anointing of God to rest upon our services. We need so much the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost to be in our midst in these last and evil days. All right, we want to go a little bit farther to Matthew, the 7th chapter, reading verses 28 and 29, please. Yes?
When Jesus had ended these sayings,
the people were astonished at his doctrine. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Here again, we're talking about the anointing of God and the effect that it will have upon precious souls. We're living in a religious world today. And oftentimes out in the world of religion, and I'm speaking of sectism now, precious souls can hear the gospel preached and taught week after week, month after month, year after year. And it only entertained the intellect. Oftentimes there are great orators out in the world of religion that can hold the attention of people maybe for hours. They can hold those people's attention, but they are only dealing with the mind, with the intellect. They are only entertaining the flesh. But here, dear ones, when Jesus spoke to those people, his words went beyond the mind, and it penetrated the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Those people were astonished. They marveled. Christ did not speak as the Pharisees. These were men that were learned, and they were capable of teaching just from a head knowledge, teaching a head knowledge. But I'm thinking, dear ones, in the last and evil days in which we're living in, we need much more than a head knowledge. We need a heart knowledge. And this is where anointing will bring about the blessings that we need. It will penetrate the heart. It'll penetrate the soul. It'll benefit the soul as we journey along the way. God wants more anointing to rest in the services of his people in these last and evil days. All right, we want you to turn with us now to the book of St. Luke, the 4th chapter. I'd like to begin reading at the 16th verse and read down a few verses here. St. Luke, the 4th chapter, begin reading at verse 16. He came to Nazareth,
where he had been brought up,
as his custom was,
he went into the synagogue
on the Sabbath day
and stood up for to read.
There was delivered unto him
the book of the prophet Isaiah.
When he had opened the book,
he found the place where it was written,
"The Spirit of the Lord is upon me,
because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted."
Would you hold it just a minute, please?
"The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus said, "is upon me, because he hath anointed me."
Yes.
"He has consecrated me. He has set me apart to preach the gospel to the poor." Now the gospel, dear ones, means good news.
It means glad tidings.
And we need the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon us in preaching the gospel and the good news, that people will actually be able to get a hold to what we're teaching and preaching them, to the benefiting of their soul. They can actually see it as being good news. They can behold it as being glad tidings, and it will benefit their eternal soul. We'd like for you, before you go any farther there, to turn with us to the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. I'd like to begin reading at verse 26 and read down a few verses here, please. Acts 8 and 26.
"The angel of the Lord spake to Philip."
Yes.
"Saying, Arise.
Go toward the south.
Unto
the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza,
which is desert."
Which is desert.
"And he arose and went."
He arose and went.
"And behold, a man of Ethiopia."
Yes.
"The eunuch of great authority under Candace."
Yes.
"Queen of the Ethiopians."
"Who had the charge of all of her treasure." "Had come to Jerusalem for to worship."
"Was returning.
And sitting in his chariot."
"Read Elias the prophet."
Yes.
"And the Spirit said unto Philip."
"The Spirit said unto Philip."
Go.
Now here, dear ones, the Holy Spirit, God, consecrated Philip. God set Philip apart for a particular work. And God blessed his labors. All right, go right ahead.
"Go near."
"Go near.
Join thyself."
"And join thyself to this chariot." "Philip ran thither
to him
and heard him read the prophet Isaiah
and
said,
Understandest thou
what thou readest?"
"He said, How can I?
Except some man should guide me."
"And he
desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." I believe that's enough. Here, dear ones, we're thinking of what anointing will do for us. Here this man was reading the scripture, but he failed to understand what he was reading. So many precious souls today read God's word time and time again, hear the word of God preached and taught time and time again, without any real understanding of what they read, of what they're hearing. This, dear ones, is where we need the anointing of the Spirit of God. Where the anointing of God's Spirit is, dear ones, it will enlighten the understanding. It will give spiritual knowledge and wisdom to that precious soul. As this man read the prophet Isaiah and he failed to understand it, and here the Lord sent Philip down to deal with this man, Philip began where this man was reading and began to expound Christ to him, and he was able to comprehend. He was able to grasp it. He was able to get a hold to it. Because the anointing of God is resting upon it. This is what we need more of in the services of the Lord in these last and evil days. All right, would you turn back with us, please, to the book of Luke, the 4th chapter, and let's take up where we left off here.
"He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted."
Jesus said he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I'm thinking, dear ones, how oftentimes, we're not careful, people with broken hearts
will come among us.
Maybe something have entered into that individual's life. Some disappointment, some discouragement, something have taken place in their life that have caused them grief and sorrow, and their hearts have been broken. And they come among the people of God. And if we're not careful, they'll come with a broken heart, and they'll leave with a broken heart. But if we will let God direct us and lead us and guide us and anoint us, when those individuals come among the people of God, they can go away with a healed spirit. God can bless those individuals. Jesus said that the Father has sent him to heal the broken heart. Listen, dear ones, God can so bless us that we can impart something to precious souls that will be a rich blessing to them, that will actually heal their broken heart. All right, going a little bit farther here. God had sent him, God had anointed him, God had consecrated him and set him apart to preach deliverance to the captives. We are living in a time when many precious souls are in spiritual captivity. Satan have taken those souls and they are actually enslaved to sin. And we need, dear one, the ability and the power to preach and teach the gospel that those souls can be delivered from the sin that they abound with. All right, the Lord had anointed him to preach deliverance to the captives. I'm thinking not only about souls that are just outright sinners, but there are some souls, dear ones, that are so bound up in sin that they are termed as being in the prison house of sin. Satan have gotten such great control of those individuals. Satan have gotten such a possession of them that they're bound maybe with drugs, they're bound with alcohol, they're bound by spirits and things of that nature, and those precious souls need to be delivered. But it's going to take the anointing of God to be able to bring about their deliverance. I thought about that song poet making the statement, "How dark my prison house of sin, entombed in misery, but Jesus' love is shining in, rays of hope to me." Listen, dear ones, where the anointing of God is present, it will pierce into the darkened hearts of men and women and boys and girls, and the love of God will shine into that individual soul, and that individual will be able to realize that there is deliverance for me. There is liberty. I can be set free from the bondage and from the consequence of sin. We need the anointing of God upon the services of God as we journey through this dark and sinful world. All right, he went on to say here, "And recovering of sight to the blind." Do you know, dear ones, that there are many precious souls today that are blind, spiritually blind, talking about it. We realize that Christ is able to restore physical sight. But I'm thinking about souls that are spiritually blind. I'm thinking about souls that at one time have had a clear spiritual vision. They were able to see the truth, but somehow spiritual cataracts have gotten over their eyes, and they failed to see the truth as they one time have seen it. We need the anointing of God so present with us that the gospel can be proclaimed, that those precious souls can have their sight restored. They'll be able again to once more see the truth as they have seen it in time past. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, consecrated him and set him apart, that he could proclaim the gospel in such a way that precious souls could realize that I've let something slip here. I need the Lord to help me to regain some ground that I've lost. We need that same anointing, dear ones, as we journey along the way. All right, what else did he say here? To set at liberty them that are bruised. When we think about a bruise is something that's very painful. I'm thinking about souls that have been bruised by the hand of sin. I think about Legion. This was a man, the scripture said, that this precious soul was in the tombs night and day, crying and cutting himself in stones. This man, the enemy had gotten such a possession of him, Satan had actually taken possession of his body, this man was actually devil-possessed. Listen, dear ones, we need the anointing of God upon us. We need the power and presence of the Holy Ghost present with us that we can proclaim the gospel with such power and authority that those individuals that are possessed of the devil can realize that there is deliverance for me, that God can liberate me and set me free from the power of the enemy of my soul. We need that, saints, working among us in a greater way. We're not saying that we don't have these things working among us, but we're trying to encourage us to reach out. We're trying to encourage us to deeper depths and greater heights in God. We're trying to encourage us, dear ones, to realize that God have more anointing to pour out upon His people, that we can be more effective as we journey along the path of life. All right, going a little bit farther here. He said, yes, go right ahead. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I believe this was dealing with the year of Jubilee. This was dealing, I believe, with the time when an individual could actually be liberated and set free. Yeah. Listen, dear ones, we need the anointing of God that we can preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We can preach the time when God will receive and accept precious souls. Many people today are waiting for a more convenient season that will never come, oftentimes to many of them.
Right.
But we need God to help us that we can preach the gospel that people's understanding will be enlightened and they can see that, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's no need of me putting salvation out in the future and letting the enemy rob me of my soul, but I need to move now where the anointing of the Lord is, where the power and presence of the Holy Ghost is. People will be brought to that realization, dear ones, that I need to be saved now. I need God's blessings upon my soul now. But where there's a lack of the anointing of God, there's a lack of the power and presence of the Holy Ghost to perform the things in the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls that need to be performed in these last and evil days. Now, dear ones, as we consider anointing, do you not know that we oftentimes have a lot to do with the anointing of God and the services of the Lord, and God consecrating us and setting us apart to do certain things for Him? I'm thinking of when we come to service sometime. We can come sometime with our mind cluttered up, so to speak, our thoughts on different things, and maybe our thoughts on tomorrow, and our thoughts on the cares of life and things of that nature. That will hinder the anointing of God. That will hinder God from actually putting His hand upon us, consecrating us and setting us apart, maybe for certain things that we would be qualified to do. God, to me, dear ones, for a space of time, that God would so bless and help us concerning the anointing that we need in our services. Again, we state that where there is a lack of anointing, the church is going to suffer. It's going to suffer in its growth of people being added to the church, and it's going to suffer in its spiritual growth, in us progressing and prospering in the Lord as we journey through this dark and sinful world.